Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here's your host, Adam Pfeiffer.
What is going on? Happy Friday. Welcome back, everybody, to the FTN DataCast presented by FTN Fantasy here on Friday. We are in November. It's the third week, number nine here for the read option. Had Thursday night football yesterday. Deontay Johnson scored a touchdown. Anything's possible now. Like, whatever you thought was not possible, think again. Because Deontay Johnson found the end zone. But if you are new, this is the read option here for the FTN DataCast, where I go game by game and pair it with my read option game by game article series at ftnfantasy.com. So you have the written format, which is behind the paywall, but three games are free to read each week. So you get a really good feel for what the article will entail. And then there's the podcast, where I don't go as in-depth as the article, but it gives you kind of the best of both worlds. So yeah, four teams on bye here in week nine. Next week, though, good luck. I mean, I think there's six teams on bye. It's either six or four, but I know for a fact we have the Eagles and the Chiefs and the Dolphins all off next week. So that is going to be tough to replace. But let's get on with week nine, starting with an early game. We have a 9 o'clock game in Germany between the Dolphins and Chiefs. This should be really fun. And honestly, this game is easy, right? Like, it's pretty much start everybody. Like, you're starting Tua. Like, I just don't really know what needs to be said here. The only question marks you have are, like, do you start Rashee Rice if you are hurting at wide receiver? Because we know on a per-route basis, he's been targeted pretty highly this season, right? Like, it's been right around 26%, and his route participation has gone up. So he has a good matchup, too. He's been in the slot about 60% of the time. With Jalen Ramsey and Xavier Howard back from Miami, that means Kader Kohou will line up in the slot again. He's allowing 0.36 fantasy points per coverage route and an 83% catch rate and three touchdowns in coverage. A lot of that's because he's played outside this season because of the injuries, where he's not used to playing and he's been going up against, you know, Stephon Diggs, but it's still a pretty decent matchup. Isaiah Pacheco, you're starting him. He's like a low-end running back one. Since week four, he's handled about 70% of Kansas City's rushing attempts, and he's averaging 18 touches per game during that span. You're obviously starting Patrick Mahomes. Weird game for Mahomes last week. First game in 29 straight where he failed to score a touchdown, or at least throw for a touchdown pass. That's obviously something that's just kind of a fluke. We have to just overlook that. And he rushed for 20 yards again on Sunday, giving him at least 20 rushing yards in 7 of 8 games this season, setting career highs in rushing attempts at 4.5 and rushing yards at 29.2 per game. And then, like, Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, you're starting them. I am interested to see if Steve Spagnuolo is going to play man coverage as much as he has against Miami. Like, he loves blitzing. He loves playing man coverage. The Chiefs this season, top 10 in blitz rate. They're top 5 in percentage of man coverage at 36% of the time. The problem is you cannot play man coverage against the Dolphins, and specifically, you cannot play man coverage against Tyreek Hill. He destroys man coverage. He's averaging almost 3 fantasy points per target against man coverage, and he has a 38% target share against man. Like, I don't think it's wise to do that. We'll see if that happens. And then Jalen Waddle, he's been picking it up as of late. Season high 12 targets last week. He scored a touchdown. He probably sees the most of L'Jarius Sneed in this game just because, like, yes, theoretically, you'd want your best defensive back on Tyreek Hill, but it's so hard to do that because he's in preset motion like 15% of the time, and it's, you know, impossible to keep up with him, especially in man coverage. Like, if the Chiefs are going to try to play man coverage against Tyreek Hill with that preset motion, it's not going to work. I'll just leave it at that. And then, yeah, I mean, Tua, Raheem Mostert, they're both must-start players. Tua was fantastic last week. Vikings at Falcons. We have two backup quarterbacks under center here. really brutal with Kirk Cousins. He was having, honestly, like an MVP-type season. I know Minnesota in the standings wasn't allowing him to get that kind of buzz, but he's been playing great this season. Tears his Achilles, so his season's over. For this week, at least, we'll see Jaren Hall. Next week, it might be Josh Dobbs. Jordan Addison was a top 15 wide receiver every week, pretty much, until we got Justin Jefferson back. Now, at least for this week, like, he's probably more of like low 30 range for me. Like, I'm in a league where I've been starting him the last couple weeks and I've been having a great time doing it. But now I'm starting like Chris Godwin, Nico Collins, I'm starting over him pretty easily. And it sucks because Jordan Addison's been unbelievable. Four straight games of the touchdown. He's now third in the NFL with 8 end zone targets, 27% target share, or 22% target share since Jefferson has been out. He's run around on 90% of dropbacks in that span. Like, he's still talented enough to get it done, but instead of being a clear top 15 wide receiver, he's, you know, wide receiver 3 for me. And yeah, TJ Hockenson, you're still starting him. He now has at least 8 targets in 14 of 18 games since joining Minnesota halfway through last season. So it's hard to get away from him. In the backfield, like, it's still more Alexander Mattison, but we saw Akers get the touchdown last week. Maybe the Vikings run the ball more with the injury to Cousins because they've been top 3 in neutral script pass rate, top 3 in pass rate inside the red zone. So, like, if they start running the football more, maybe it doesn't matter as much if this is more of a 60-40 type of situation. But the obvious, you know, key of this all is the fact that the offense just simply won't be as good without Kirk Cousins taking away scoring opportunities. For the Falcons, Bijan Robinson back to his kind of usual role last week, 73% snap share, 48% of the rushing attempts, scored his first rushing touchdown of the season. Did not come from inside the 5-yard line, but we'll take it. 5 targets in the passing game. Maybe the usage in the passing game won't be as high with Taylor Heinicke at quarterback, but Bijan's still low in running back 1. And we have to wait and see on Drake London. He has not been practicing this week. He might not play. He left with a groin last week, did not return. If he plays, he's a high-end wide receiver 3. I think he gets more consistent targets with Heinicke under center because last year, when he was under center, Terry McLaurin got all the targets. Like Heinicke likes to rely on the top player, but we have to wait and see, obviously. London also has a 22% target share against the Blitz this season, which comfortably leads the team, and we know Brian Flores and the Vikings 53% blitz rate leads the NFL. And if Drake London is out, Kyle Pitts and Jonnu Smith probably see a bump, but they're kind of where they are, right? Pitts is a low end tight end 1, Jonnu Smith's a solid tight end 2. Again, I think the massive target share for tight ends this year, it's at 35% for the Falcons. I think that's more because of Arthur Smith's scheme than it is whoever the quarterback happens to be. Again, Arthur Smith coached the tight end position for years, so I think it's more of a scheme thing. Seahawks at Ravens up next. I'm not really high on Geno. He's a mid-range quarterback too, but we have to talk about the backfield because last week to end the week, we saw Ken Walker not practicing Wednesday or Thursday with a calf, and then he was taken off the injury report, but we ended up seeing Zach Charbonnet not take over, but play a lot more, right? He set season highs in snap share. Obviously, you know, Walker set season low in snap share. Charbonnet, here's the interesting thing too. DJ Dallas has mostly been the team's, you know, 2-minute drill, third down running back. He didn't play a single snap on offense in this game. All of his snaps came on special teams. So we saw Charbonnet play all 8 snaps on third down and all 12 in the 2-minute drill. So he played every single snap in those two scenarios. So, and after the game, again, you have to kind of take it with a grain of salt because Pete Carroll is like legitimately the most optimistic head coach in the NFL. But it was like 2 straight press conferences back to back where he was speaking so highly of Charbonnet. And they, one of the beat reporters asked, like, why did you have more, you know, Charbonnet out there late in the game? And I'm paraphrasing, but Pete Carroll essentially said, like, just wanted to see more of him, give him an opportunity to play. So That to me, like if it was, if the limited usage from Walker was because he didn't practice and maybe wasn't 100% from the calf, I think Pete Carroll probably would have said that. So I'm not saying you bench Ken Walker, but I also think like he's no longer this clear top five running back if Charbonnet is going to continue to get this work, let alone if he gets anything else. Now, Walker still handled the short yardage work, and he still has, you know, 90% of the team's carries from inside the five-yard line this season. So hopefully he maintains that role. But yeah, Charbonnet, it's definitely something to keep an eye on going forward. And if he starts to get enough work, he might be able to push like low-end flex consideration. Not quite yet, but wide receiver, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, both, you know, mid-range wide receiver twos as long as they are out there. They've been missing a lot of practice time over the past couple weeks, but looks like both should play. Tyler Lockett still among the top wideouts in the league in end zone targets. And then JSN, like, can't trust him. Route participation was at 82% in week 7, down to 64% last week. Following the bye, Seattle ran a lot more 11 personnel, and that was with all of the wide receivers healthy. So it wasn't like he just got more playing time because one of the two wide receivers was out. But then, as of late, they've gone back to just more 12 personnel. So that takes away from JSN, and I'm not starting any tight end from Seattle. For Baltimore, you're starting Lamar Jackson, the MVP of the NFL through 8 weeks. Down a game last week, but he just kind of ran into some touchdown variance with Gus Edwards scoring 3 touchdowns from 10 yards out or closer. Seattle's defense has been really good since week 3. They're actually second in the league in EPA per dropback behind the Ravens. So these have been two of the best defenses in the NFL over the past 5 weeks. But Seattle's also allowing a ton of rushing production to quarterbacks, about 24 rushing yards per game, 7th most in the NFL. And like, yeah, Seattle's pass defense has looked really good since week 3. They faced Joe Burrow during that span, but then they faced like Josh Dobbs, Daniel Jones, Bryce Young. So I think they are solid. They're good, but they're not, you know, anything to fear for Lamar Jackson. Gus Edwards coming off a season-high 19 carries. He scored 3 touchdowns. Taken over this backfield since week 4, about 16.5 touches per game during that span. I mean, he's pushing low-end running back 2 status in non-PPR formats. Tough matchup here, though. Seattle's been really good against the run. Just 8% of the runs against him have gained 10-plus yards, 7th lowest rate in the NFL. So I have Edwards as like a low-end running back 2, high-end flex. And Zay Flowers, high-end wide receiver 3 for me. Seattle's done a pretty good job against, you know, boundary wide receivers. They have been more vulnerable to the slot, but they also have, you know, Devon Witherspoon, who's been unbelievable. He has a 43% catch rate in coverage this season. So, but overall, Zay Flowers still has a 27% target share. Still love the overall usage from him. And of course, you're starting Mark Andrews, who has 60 yards at least or a touchdown in every game this season but one. Arizona at Cleveland. So we still don't know. I mean, I might get this news. You know, it's 11:40 a.m. while I'm recording this. We might get this news while I'm recording. But obviously the team traded Josh Dobbs. So still waiting to see if it's going to be Kyler Murray under center. If it is, I'd probably rank him as like a high-end quarterback too. Matchup's tough. We don't know what to expect in his first game back. I also want to see how much the Cardinals utilize him in the design run game, because that was a huge part with Josh Dobbs. Josh Dobbs was third among all quarterbacks with 34 design rushing attempts, and he was handling 17% of Arizona's overall design runs. Like, it was a huge part of their offense. Dobbs rushed for at least 40 yards in 5 games this season. So if there's no limitations for Kyler and they use him in the same way with the offense as they were using Josh Dobbs, then yeah, he's going to be probably, you know, high-end quarterback 2 might be too low for him, despite, you know, regardless of the matchup. We have to wait and see. If it's not Kyler, it'll be Clayton Toon for the Cardinals. At running back, Amari DiMercato might not play all of a sudden. He was, the last couple weeks, emerging as the lead running back. If he's out, like, I still wouldn't love Keontae Ingram or Damian Williams, especially against Cleveland, third fewest yards before contact per rush in the NFL. At wideout, Hollywood Brown, still really good volume, 9 targets last week, 27% target share on the season. He's on the wide receiver two, wide receiver three borderline, probably a low end wide receiver two if Kyler's there. Remember, he was fantastic with Kyler and without DeAndre Hopkins last season. And then there is Trey McBride, who is a low end tight end one. If you picked him up off waivers, you probably start him. Not the greatest matchup, but without Zach Ertz last week, McBride played 82% of the snaps, ran around on 88% of dropbacks, 10 catches on a team-high 14 targets for a 38% target share. So tough to get away from that usage. For Cleveland, it's kind of simple. Like, the backfield's kind of a mess right now. Jerome Ford was supposed to miss like 1 to 2 weeks with the ankle issue, but he played, was clearly limited. He only played 4 offensive snaps in the first half. Like, I don't know. Like, I still think it's maybe not to that extent, but still some limitations if you know, if everybody's active this week. You can definitely run on Arizona. I mean, Gus Edwards just proved that. They're allowing the third most fantasy points per game to running backs, but Ford, Kareem Hunt, nothing more than flex plays for me. Amari Cooper, wide receiver two, wide receiver three, borderline. Just been very underwhelming. I understand the quarterback situation has been tough. It's been really up and down. The Cardinals do allow 91 receiving yards per game to opposing top wide receivers. So that's good. Cooper's averaging more fantasy points per target against zone than man. That's good. So, and finally, David Njoku. He's starting to get things going as well. 17 targets over the past 2 weeks, scored last week. He's run around on 80% of Cleveland's dropbacks, solid 17% target share. He also has 43% of the team's targets from inside the 10-yard line. That's the fifth highest rate in the league. And his target share is about 7% higher against zone than it is against man. And the Cardinals play zone at one of the highest rates in the league. So I like David Njoku quite a bit. Rams and Green Bay, like, you're still starting. It doesn't look like Stafford's going to play, by the way. So, like, you're still starting Kupp and probably Puka, but they go from, like, top 10 wide receivers each to, like, wide receiver 15 range for me. You know, Stafford was playing really well. It's not the greatest matchup. I know Rasul Douglas isn't there anymore, so that definitely helps, but yeah, you definitely don't view Kupp or Puka as, you know, clear top 8 to 10 wide receivers, assuming Stafford doesn't play. And then, like, Darrell Henderson, Royce Freeman, flex plays at best as well. Over the past 2 weeks, Henderson's played 53% of the snaps and handled 56% of the rushing attempts. Freeman's been at 47% of the snaps and 40% of the rushing attempts. 17 touches per game for Henderson, almost 11 for Freeman. Good matchup here. Green Bay, 7th most fantasy points per game allowed to opposing running backs. 2.3 yards after contact per attempt, 6th most in the league. And 44% of the touchdowns against Green Bay have come on the ground, the 9th highest rate in the NFL. And honestly, for Green Bay, like, I don't really want to start anybody. Jordan Love's been terrible. I'm not starting him. Because Jordan Love's been terrible, Watson and Dobbs are, like, wide receiver threes at best. Romeo Dobbs does lead the NFL in end zone targets this season, so he has that going for him with 10. But, man, like, tough to feel great about it. I will say this could be a spot where Watson takes one deep. The Rams are allowing a 48% catch rate on go routes this season and the 4th most fantasy points total off go routes. So that's really enticing for Christian Watson. The backfield, like, Aaron Jones, you just can't have any confidence. He's not fully healthy. Like, I don't feel great about Aaron Jones until I see him get a full practice in. Clearly still limited. He's yet to even play 50% of the snaps in a game this season. He's only averaging 11 touches per game. Dylan's at 14 touches, taking all of the carries from inside the 5-yard line. Like, Jones is at best a low-end running back too, and Dylan's a touchdown-dependent flex play. And then finally, Luke Musgrave has a good matchup here. Rams allow the 4th most fantasy points and receiving yards per game to opposing tight ends. This could be the spot where he has his breakout game. So he's like a high-end tight end too for me. Tampa Bay at Houston. Rashad White, like, a couple weeks ago, I wrote about the usage in the passing game not really being there, but it's been there lately. You know, over the past couple weeks, 13 catches on All 13 of his targets have been caught for 135 yards over the past 2 weeks. 80% snap share on the season, 17 touches per game. He remains what he's kind of been, low-end, volume-based running back too. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, I'm starting them. This could be more of a Godwin spot, though, as it was last week, because Houston runs a similar defense as Buffalo. A lot of zone, a lot of limiting the explosive pass play deep down the field. Godwin has a 24% target share against zone coverage this season. He also quietly has 46% of Tampa Bay's targets from inside the 10, which is the third highest rate in the NFL. The floor is there. He's caught at least five passes for 50 yards in all but one game this season. So Evans is still has the upside, so he's a top 15 wide receiver. But I've got one like right around wide receiver 20 as well. For the Texans, Damian Pierce might not play. He has not been practicing Wednesday or Thursday with an ankle issue. We already have been seeing Devin Singletary take more and more work each week prior to this. Singletary would be a top 30 running back if Pierce is out. Not a good matchup, especially with Vita Vea expected back for Tampa Bay on that defensive line. But you're just, you know, just hoping for the volume if you start Singletary, if Damian Pierce is out. Nico Collins is at home where he's been much better. Three games at home this season, he's averaging 25 fantasy points per game. On the road, he's just over 8 fantasy points per game. Still the clear wide receiver one here. Tampa Bay allowing the 9th most fantasy points per game to opposing wide receivers. They're also allowing over 3 fantasy points per target on post routes this season, which make up 15% of Collins' targeted routes. So I like Collins this week. Tank Dell is a high upside, low floor, wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 for me. And Dalton Schultz usage came back down with Dell in the lineup. He has not been as good when Dell has played at least 30 snaps this season. In the 5 games where Dell has played at least 30 snaps, Dalton Schultz is averaging just 5.5 PPR points per game. So the good thing is the route participation has been much more consistent, but he's a high-end tight end 2 at best for me. Washington at New England. I mean, Sam Howell keeps getting it done, especially against the Eagles. I mean, he was fantastic last week. 397 yards and 4 touchdowns. Washington has been way more aggressive and way more pass-heavy. And they also last week did a good job, and it was smart. They just had a plan in place to get the ball out of his hands much, much faster, which makes sense because he's on pace to be the most sacked quarterback of all time. But he averaged 2.4 seconds to throw. It was his highest, or I guess the lowest, fastest rate this season. How he now has 5 weeks as a top 12 fantasy quarterback. And Washington lately, I mean, you look at, I think it's since week 3 or week 4, they are top 5 in early down pass rate. So they have been more aggressive, leaning more on Sam Howell and the passing attack. Not a great spot, but you look at all the quarterbacks that we don't have this week, whether it's bye week, players being out due to injury. Like, given what Howell's shown us and the upside he's shown us, like, I don't know how he's not like a low-end quarterback one. I mean, we don't have Trevor Lawrence. We don't have Stafford, probably. We still don't have Justin Fields. We don't have, I guess, Brock Purdy. Who else is on bye? Jared Goff. It's tough with quarterback right now. Brian Robinson, not too excited about him because, as I mentioned, only the Eagles and Bengals since week 3 have a higher early down pass rate than Washington at 64%. So we've seen Robinson, the volume's just disappeared. Since week 3, that same span, he's averaging 11.3 touches per game. Like, he's a high-end flex play for me right now. In the right matchup, yeah, he has top 15 upside. I don't know if this is that matchup. Terry McLaurin continues to get a ton of volume. Last 3 weeks, target totals of 12, 9, and 11. 34% target share in that span. He's a solid wide receiver too. McLaurin against man coverage, 27% target share. We know the Patriots play a ton of man coverage. And John Dodson, like, did not expect that. 108 yards and a touchdown. Still wouldn't really trust him quite yet, but maybe there's more trust if Curtis Samuel is out. He's dealing with a toe issue right now. Finally, Logan Thomas. He's a low-end tight end one. Was good last week against the Eagles. Patriots have been awesome against tight ends for years. But, like, unless you have a solidified elite tight end or you recently added, like, Kincaid or Trey McBride or Jake Ferguson, like, you're probably best with Logan Thomas. Mac Jones, I kind of like this week, and it's terrifying because he's without Kendrick Bourne. He's not particularly great. But again, there's so few quarterbacks this week. Washington, their pass defense has been terrible, and now their pass rush is worse because they traded Chase Young and Montez Sweat at the deadline. Fourth most points, fifth most yards per drive allowed this season. Opponents are scoring points on 46% of drives against the Commanders, second highest rate in the league. It's a good spot for Mac Jones against a bad pass defense. Ramondre continues to be low-end running back two. Remains in that, you know, 60 to 65% snap share while Zeke plays 30 to 35%. Still playing 73% of the snaps on third down. Hopefully gets back to seeing 4 or 5 targets per game because his target share has fallen off this season. Last year was at 17%. This year it's only 12.5%. And with Kendrick Bourne out, I'm looking at DeMario Douglas. Like, I'm starting him in a league. Ran him out on 76% of dropbacks in week 7. And then last week, season high, 82%. 13 targets over the last two games, 7 deep targets, trails only Kendrick Bourne on the team, and now he gets to face the Commanders. Most yards at 685, most touchdowns with 8 off deep passes this season, 64% catch rate off go routes. If I'm playing any wide receiver from the Patriots, it's very, very easily DeMario Douglas. Bears at Saints. Derek Carr, back-to-back-to-back games with 300 passing yards. This week, though, it didn't take him 50-plus pass attempts, so that's good. Good matchup here. Carr's a, you know, low-end QB1, high-end QB2. Bears allow the fifth-highest completion percentage and 10th worst yards per pass attempt this season. Obviously, starting Alvin Kamara, who, just insane usage. Since making his debut in week 4, he's averaging 25 touches per game, 23% target share. And, oh, now he faces a Bears team that's allowing the fourth most targets, fifth most receptions, and the most receiving yards per game to opposing running backs. That's it's terrifying. And Derek Carr still leads the NFL in checkdowns, so. I have a league where I lost by 9 points with Chris Olave. He had that wide-open 39-yard touchdown that hit him in the helmet. It's been frustrating. It's no doubt about it. But everything we look for and we want is there, right? 27% target share, 34 targets over the past 3 weeks, over 1,000 air yards, second most in the NFL, 21 deep targets. The problem is he has 714 unrealized air yards. At some point, he's going to have 115 two touchdowns. Could it be this week? It could. Bears allow the 8th most yards on 20-plus yard passes this season, 44.4% completion rate off deep passes, and a 47% completion rate on go routes. I'm still starting him. Like, I'm gonna keep chasing the volume and the air yards. I'm gonna keep doing it. Michael Thomas, meanwhile, you know what he is. Solid floor, wide receiver 3. He'll give you 4 to 5 catches, he'll give you 45 to 60 yards pretty much every week. And Rashid Shaheed, high upside flex play. We've seen it. Like, he's been Derek Carr. Yes, he leads the NFL in checkdowns, but he also leads the NFL with 47 deep attempts this season. And then last week, Juwan Johnson came back. So Taysom Hill's routes came down, but he still had 2 rushing touchdowns. Like, I don't. He's way more volatile now with Juwan Johnson back, but he's going to keep getting like 7-8 carries. Like, he's got to be in the streaming consideration for tight end. And then for the Bears, like, I'm only starting really DJ Moore. Tyson Bagent will start again at quarterback. The usage has been different. Like, he has a 26% target share with Bagent under center, but his ADOT is at 6.3. With Justin Fields, his ADOT was 15.5. It's a really conservative approach from this passing game. A lot of screen passes, a lot of passes behind the line of scrimmage. So it's giving him a solid floor, right? He's going to get 5-6 catches most weeks, but he's also been under 60 receiving yards each of the last 3 games as well. So, volume-based wide receiver 2, though the upside isn't as high as it was with Justin Fields at quarterback. Colts at Carolina. Gardner Minshew still been posting solid quarterback two production. He stays in that same kind of range this week against Carolina. Like, on a per pass basis, they've been bad. It's just teams have been able to run on them because A, their run defense is bad, and B, teams have been ahead against them. But they are allowing the fifth highest passing touchdown rate this season at 5.2%. For the backfield, I'm starting both running backs. I mean, Jonathan Taylor, kind of weird usage last week. He had like 90 rushing yards in the first half, but then he only had one carry in the second half. Wasn't banged up, it didn't look like. I mean, Zach Moss is playing well and getting enough work to limit Taylor's upside, but both should be able to get like 17-plus touches in this game if things go according to plan. And 13.5% of the carries against the Panthers have gained 10-plus yards, fifth highest rate in the NFL, and only the Broncos are allowing more fantasy points per game to opposing running backs than the Carolina Panthers. I love the spot for Michael Pittman. After week 7, he was talking about how he needed more targets, and immediately, predictably, he got 13 on Sunday. He only had 40 yards on 8 catches, but he did score. He now has double-digit targets in 5 of 8 games with a 28% target share. Pittman, 29% target share against zone coverage this season, 1.6 fantasy points per target. Carolina plays zone 70% of the time, a top 3 rate in the NFL. They're also allowing 2 touchdowns and 1.57 fantasy points per target off screen passes. Pittman, meanwhile, is 3rd in the NFL with 13 screen targets. I love the spot for Pittman. We'll have to keep an eye on Josh Downs. Popped up on the injury report on Thursday, limited. If he plays, he's a weekly wide receiver 3 with a strong floor. 4 straight games as a top 30 wide receiver for Downs. He is averaging almost 8 targets and almost 14 PPR points per game alongside Gardner Minshew this season. For the Panthers, Chuba Hubbard is the running back to start. Last week, he played 66% of the snaps and had 71% of the rushing attempts. Miles Sanders only played 20% of the snaps and had two touches. Hubbard's a high-end running back 3. Sanders, you're obviously sitting. Colts allow the 5th most fantasy points per game to running backs, and this is a massive pace-up spot for Carolina because the Colts lead the NFL in seconds per snap and percentage of plays running no huddle. Thielen, must-start wide receiver. The usage is insane. Double-digit targets in 4 of his last 5 games. And since week 2, he's the wide receiver 4 on a points-per-game basis. Colts this season, 7 different wide receivers have finished inside the top 20. They've also allowed 5 100-yard wide receiver performances this season. Giants and Las Vegas, this game is very easy. I'm only starting Saquon Barkley from the Giants. Over the last 3 weeks since returning, he's averaging 30 touches per game. He's played 85% of the snaps. He's handled 78% of the team's rushing attempts. He had 39 touches last week. That obviously won't happen again, but 25 appears to be his floor right now. And I'm not starting anybody else in the Giants. Waller's not going to play. I'm just not doing it. And for the Raiders, you're starting Adams. I know he's been bad. I know it's been a slump. He had 8 for 75 on 13 targets the last time Aiden O'Connell started. So, I mean, better days have to be ahead for Davante Adams. Josh Jacobs, you're starting him. He has seen a carry or a target on 40.3% of snaps this season. Second highest rate among all running backs behind Saquon Barkley. Also, with the last time Aiden O'Connell was at quarterback, Josh Jacobs had 11 targets. So, yes, the offensive line is still a concern. Jacobs has been hit in the backfield on 27% of his carries this season, but the Giants allow 1.79 yards before contact per attempt, the 3rd most in the NFL. So this could be a spot where Jacobs could be efficient like he somewhat was last week. And then Jacoby Myers still has, a ton of end zone and red zone targets. He also has a 34.9% target share against the blitz this season. It doesn't just lead the team. It's actually top 7 in the entire NFL. The Giants blitz 43% of the time, second highest rate in football. Dallas at Philly. This game's kind of easy too. It's pretty much start most of the players from this game. Like, the Eagles are easy. They're the easiest team in fantasy. You start Hurts, you start Swift, you start A.J. Brown, you start Devontae Smith, you start Dallas Goedert. It's really that easy. I mean, A.J. Brown, 6 consecutive games with 125-plus receiving yards. He's the most unstoppable wide receiver in the NFL right now. Like, you just... Dallas' secondary has not quite been the same since losing Trayvon Diggs. Like, you just start everybody from the Eagles. Dallas, I love Dak Prescott here. He's been great the last 2 weeks. And we've seen teams, like, they don't even try to run the football against the Eagles. In fact, opponents are passing 64% of the time against them. It's the highest rate in the NFL. 79% of the yardage against the Eagles has come via the pass. That's the highest rate in the NFL. This is going to be a game where whether the Cowboys win by or are winning by 14 or down by 14, I think Dak throws at least 40 times in this game. I don't think they try to get Tony Pollard going, which is why I have him as a mid-range running back two at best. Like, Pollard's been bad. There's no way around it. Definitely hasn't helped that Dallas has played in the craziest games this year. Multiple defensive touchdowns in multiple games. Winning by 30 points. Losing by 30 points. They've only had like one normal game. That was the Chargers game. And Pollard was good. Right? Didn't score. Hasn't scored since week one. I don't think he scores here. But you hope he's involved in the passing game. I mean, I'd struggle to bench Tony Pollard. You'd have to be really, really deep at running back. Although I'm definitely not expecting much from him here. And then CeeDee Lamb was obviously unbelievable last week. 12 catches, 158, 2 touchdowns, 41% target share. Eagles just getting destroyed by wide receivers this season. So you start Lamb. And I kind of like Michael Gallup here. Like, both Gallup and Cooks are wide receiver 4 plays. I would lean Gallup, actually. Like, over the past couple games, Gallup has a 21% target share. Cooks only is at 13%. He's gotten there off touchdowns. Gallup has been much, much more productive against man coverage. 21% target share against man, under 11% against zone. Eagles play man at the 6th highest rate in football. I kind of like Michael Gallup a lot this week as a flex play, DFS value play to get exposure to this game. And then Jake Ferguson, solid tight end 1. The route involvement continues to climb. Was at 80% each of the last 2 weeks. Scored last week. Again, I think Dallas throws 40 plus times. I think Jake sees like 6 to 7 targets in this game. And if you see 6 to 7 targets against Eagles, tight ends usually do pretty well. All right, 2 games left. Bills and Bengals. This game also pretty easy. You're starting Josh Allen. You know, the offense, the Bills offense looked a lot different last week. We have to talk about that, though. Obviously, they were without Dawson Knox, which meant goodbye 12 personnel. We're back to 11, and the Bills' offense looked better than they have in weeks, right? So we saw season highs in snaps and routes for Khalil Shakir. He looked good. He's on the wide receiver 4 borderline kind of radar now. You're starting Stephon Diggs. Gabe Davis remains a high upside, high-end wide receiver 3. He has been much better against zone. 2.8 fantasy points per target against zone this season. Cincinnati plays a lot more zone this year. You're starting Stephon Diggs, obviously. His quote-unquote bad game last week was still 9 catches for 70 yards. Diggs, 33% target share, 29% target per out run rate on the year. The backfield, though, like, Latavius Murray continues to quote-unquote start, but James Cook will still get his 14 to 17 touches. Season high 66% snap share last week, actually. You would like to see the passing game usage come back. It's been down the last couple weeks, but he continues to be really efficient, and I think he will again this week against the Bengals, who are allowing 2.6 yards before contact per attempt, the most in the NFL, and 16% of the runs against the Bengals have gained 10-plus yards. That's also the highest rate in the NFL. Maybe Leonard Fournette plays this week. I don't know, but James Cook remains a solid running back, too. And Dalton Kincaid, must-start tight end. He's been breaking out the last 2 weeks. Scored his first touchdown a week ago. Season-high 85% route participation. And now he gets the Bengals, who are allowing the most fantasy points per game, 5th most receptions, and 3rd most receiving yards per game to opposing tight ends. For the Bengals, Joe Burrow looks, you know, he looks like Joe Burrow again, which is terrifying for defenses. 43 rushing yards, which tells me the calf is fine. Easily season high. Way more snaps from under center. Way less shotgun, which again tells me the calf is healed. And this Bills defense is not the same with all the injuries they've had. Since week 4, they're actually 27th in EPA per dropback allowed and 26th in overall EPA per play. So Joe Burrow back to being a, you know, must start, playing with confidence, don't even think twice. Same with Joe Mixon. Was good last week against San Fran. 74% snap share, 81% of the rushing attempts on the season, 19 touches per game. He gets Buffalo's boom-bust run defense. 14.7% of the runs against the Bills have gained 10-plus yards. Second highest rate in the NFL. I think this could be a really nice game from him. And then you're starting Jamar Chase, obviously. Jamar Chase, over the last 3 weeks, or the last three games, I guess, 31 catches, 44 targets, 372 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Just insane. They have nobody that can stop Jamar Chase or T. Higgins, to be honest with you. Chase, obviously, a top three play. T. Higgins, mid-range to low-end wide receiver 2. And I think Boyd's okay. The Bills are allowing the 11th most fantasy points per game to opposing slot wideouts this season. Final game of the week, Chargers at the Jets. This game, pretty easy as well. I'm tempering expectations for Justin Herbert, though I'm still starting him. The Jets have been so good against quarterbacks, but especially elite quarterbacks. Josh Allen, quarterback 20. Mahomes, quarterback 17. Dak, quarterback 17. And yeah, Jalen Hurts was the quarterback 2 against him, but he struggled in that game, and he threw 3 interceptions. So definitely tempering expectations for Herbert, but you're not benching him for, you know, Sam Howell or, C.J. Stroud. Eckler's rushing efficiency has been bad, like really bad. There's been like no explosive runs, but he made up for it last week with 7 catches on 8 targets for 94 yards and a touchdown. The Jets' run defense is definitely the worst part of their defense. They're like league average in yards after contact per attempt, but they're also allowing the third most receptions and targets per game to opposing running backs. So you're starting Eckler, you're starting Keenan Allen, especially because DJ Reed and Sauce don't move. They stay on one side, so they won't follow him when he's in the slot, which he's in the slot about 63% of the time. And we'll see on Josh Palmer. If he plays, he's like a low-end wide receiver 3 because he will see DJ Reed and Sauce for this game. But he's not practicing right now. So like even if he's out, I still probably wouldn't start Quentin Johnson in this really tough matchup. And Gerald Everett practiced in full, didn't play last week. He's a high-end tight end 2, still splitting routes with Donald Parham. And Parham's getting a lot of the red zone work. But this is a good matchup. Jets allowing the 6th most fantasy points per game to tight ends at almost 14 per contest. Finally, for the Jets, it's just Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson. Like, Zach Wilson's at least a little bit interesting just because quarterback is so bad this week. But you can't feel confident about it. Garrett Wilson, he's handled 62.5% of the team's targets from inside the 10-yard line this season, the highest rate in the NFL, over a 30% target share. Chargers defense is bad. Same with Breece Hall. Chargers defense is bad. He's taken over the backfield the past couple weeks. And he's had 11 catches the last 2 games. And the Chargers are allowing the 2nd most receptions, the most targets at 9, and the 2nd most receiving yards at 55 per game to opposing running backs. So, yeah, this game, pretty easy. I actually think the Jets win this game. So we'll see if my prediction comes true. But that will just about do it here for week number 9 on the read option edition of the FTN Datacast. Again, tough week, and it's not even, wait till we get to next week, but a lot of decisions to make at quarterback with so many quarterbacks out due to bye / being, hurt. So that's, I think, the storyline for this week for me. But the other storyline is there's just a shitload of really good games, right? I mean, the early window, you have Seattle and Baltimore. You have, I guess that's the only obviously Miami and Kansas City, but that's the early game. But then you have, the 4 o'clock window, Dallas and Philly, and then Sunday night, Bills, Bengals, like a lot of really fun games this week. So I'm excited. Make sure you check out all the amazing content, FTN Fantasy and FTN Daily. NBA season has started. We've been off to a really good start at FTN Daily. Did my first couple live streams with Zach this past week. So it was good to get back talking some basketball, which is still, right up there as my favorite sport to talk about. So make sure you are, joining FTN Daily, joining the Discord, getting access to all the tools, optimizers, cheat sheets, projections, live streams, etc. Because, we have an amazing team that does amazing work. So happy to be a part of it. Happy to be here on the FTN Datacast. Have a great weekend. Hopefully week 9 is off to a good start and it ends really well for you. Best of luck. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week for week 10 already in the NFL. For the FTN Datacast, this is Adam Pfeiffer. Have a good one. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN Datacast with Adam Pfeiffer. Be sure to follow your host on Twitter at apfeiffer24. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. And we'll see you next time on the FTN Datacast, where data drives the discussion.